Welcome to Gospel Truth with Andrew Womack, a teaching ministry emphasizing God's unconditional love and grace. This special live teaching on the heart of man was recorded at a recent Gospel Truth seminar and is being broadcast exclusively for our radio listeners. And now, here's Andrew.
When you smoke, you give Satan an inroad into your life. If you're obese, you give Satan an inroad into your life. You know, I've heard doctors even say that a tremendous amount of sugar, diabetes, and stress and high blood pressure and all kinds of things are caused because people are overweight. You're giving Satan an inroad into your life. But God is a spirit, and He's not dealing with you based on your physical flesh. He's dealing with you based on who you are in the spirit. And even though you may be overweight, even though you may not be taking care of yourself, even though you might be doing drugs, you might be an alcoholic, even though you're smoking, God loves you. God doesn't have a problem with you, but you are giving Satan an inroad into your body, and it's going to have physical consequences. So stop it. You're just stupid if you're out doing stuff like that. But I'm saying God loves you, stupid. Because God is a spirit, and God is seeing you in the spirit. And in the spirit, you're just perfect. You're identical to Jesus. And God sees you. But does that mean that you just go live in sin? No, because sin gives Satan an inroad into your body, and it also gives Satan an inroad into your mind, into your emotions. You're going to suffer penalties if you live in sin, but not because God is enforcing them. It's because we have an enemy that's going about seeking whom he may devour. And who can he devour? Only those who yield to him. Don't yield to him, and he doesn't have any access to you. So you need to live holy. But you are sealed. And John 4:24 says God is a spirit, and God is dealing with you based on who you are in the spirit. Even though some of you have problems in your life and all of us are failing in some area, none of us are the perfect person that God wants us to be. God is dealing with you based on your spirit, and your spirit is perfect. It's perfect. It doesn't get any better. It's not going to be cleansed when you go to heaven. It's not going to be infused with more power. The spirit on the inside of you is the same spirit that you are going to have throughout all eternity. One third of your salvation is complete. It's over. And the rest of the Christian life is renewing your mind to what you already have in your spirit and then learning how to act in agreement. And when you get spirit, soul, and body in agreement, man, the power of God will just flow. If you could imagine a pipe up here above my head, and over on this side is the spirit. And over here is this faucet where the water comes out. But in the middle is your mind, and it's like the spigot. And just like if you were hooked up to water, you could have life-giving water in your pipes at home, but it's got a valve on it that controls the flow of that. And if the valve is shut, you could be standing there at the faucet and die of thirst with life-giving water being just inches away in those pipes if you don't turn the control, if you don't change the valve. And this is what's happening. We've got the supernatural raising from the dead power of God on the inside of us, but it's got to get through your mind. Your mind is that valve on this pipe. And the problem is most of us have got stinking thinking that stops the flow of the Spirit through us. And one of those things is this thing that I'm dealing with today, that every time you sin, it's a new transgression against God, and God can't love you, fellowship with you, use you until you get perfect, until you get over all of these things. That will stop the flow of God through you because your own conscience is going to constantly condemn you and let you know that you could always do something better. You know, when I first got turned on to the Lord, I woke up one morning and I started reading in the book of Mark. And I just started reading and I read the entire New Testament, all except the book of Matthew. I started in Mark and went all the way to the end. And man, it took 16 hours. And I was so pleased with everything that I had done. And I remember thinking, God, this was awesome. I read 16 hours. I read all but the book of Matthew today. And I was into myself and into what I had done. And you know what? I had the thought come, you were up 17 hours. You wasted an hour. And I went to bed feeling condemned about, oh God, I failed you. I could have done more. You know, it doesn't matter what you do. You could always do more. It doesn't matter if you read from Matthew through Revelation. You could have read from Malachi through Revelation. You could always do more. You could take a speed reading course and read more. Amen. You know, you're never going to be good enough. Your conscience is always going to condemn you. And what you've got to do is purge your conscience from dead works. It says that right here in the 14th verse of Hebrews chapter 9. How much more shall the blood of Christ, who through the eternal Spirit offered himself without spot to God, purge your conscience from dead works to serve the living God? Dead works are talking about you trusting in yourself and thinking you've got to somehow or another be worthy, earn God's blessing. Nobody has ever earned God's blessing. The Bible says you're supposed to agree with your adversary quickly while you're in the way. And that has multiple applications, but one of the ways that I do that is when the devil comes and says, you sorry thing, what makes you think God would use you? You're going to stand in front of thousands of people and you're going to speak the words, you aren't worthy. I used to sit there and try and justify myself and say, wait, I've been seeking God more than I ever have. I've been studying the Word, and I started trying to justify myself. The moment you get to try to justify yourself, you've lost the battle. Because Satan will just keep pressing and he'll find something you failed on. None of us are perfect. Now, I've learned to just agree with my adversary. When he tells me, you aren't worthy, I say, you're right. I'm not worthy. Praise God for Jesus. Amen. I think I'll pray in the name of Jesus. I'll get it through who Jesus is. You've got to purge your conscience from dead works and say, it's not based on what I do. It's what on Jesus did. I don't pray for people in the name of Andrew Womack. I pray for people in the name of Jesus and get them healed because of what Jesus did, not because of what I do. Man, what I'm saying is important. If you understood this, you could go out here and raise the dead and see blind eyes open, deaf ears open. But the majority of people in this room right now don't have the confidence and the boldness to do that because you think God flows through you based on your goodness. And you might believe God's going to use me because you're seeing me at my best. But you know you at your worst. The only reason you have more confidence in my prayers than you have in your prayers is because you know you better than you know me. If you knew me as well as you know you, you wouldn't have any more faith in my prayers than you got in your prayers. But see, we think a preacher's got it all together. But the truth is, God, I can't pray for anybody in my name. I have to be able to go past that. And this has freed me up to recognize that when I got born again, God forgave me of all sin, past, present, and future. And my spirit, it was created in righteousness and true holiness and then vacuum-packed, sealed by the Holy Spirit. And when I fail, which I fail a lot, it does not change my spirit. And God is a spirit. He still loves me and relates to me based on who I am in the spirit, which is completely a result of Jesus and not a result of me. And man, because of this, I have boldness in my relationship with God. Man, I'm talking as fast as I can. You need to get the CD of this. But I'm going to skip some verses, but there are four times in this chapter. There's about six times in the next few verses of chapter 10 where it makes this comparison to the way things are done in the New Testament compared to the Old Testament. And it's making this emphasis that it was once Jesus dealt with all of your sins, once and for all, once and forever. Let me just take a couple of these verses. In verse 25, Hebrews 9:25, nor yet that he should offer himself often as the high priest entereth into the holy place every year with the blood of others. See, what he's doing is showing you a contrast, not a comparison. The New Testament is not compared to the Old Testament. It's contrasted with it. The Old Testament, they offered the sacrifices over and over and over, but in the New Testament, once. So in verse 26, it says, for then must he often have suffered since the foundation of the world, but now once. Here again is that same emphasis. Once in the end of the world hath he appeared to put away sin by the sacrifice of himself. And as it is appointed unto men once to die, But after that, the judgment, so Christ was once offered to bear the sins of many, and unto them that look for him shall he appear the second time without sin unto salvation. Did you know that that's four times in the ninth chapter that he emphasizes Jesus died once, eternal redemption, eternal inheritance, once. You do not have to separate yourself over every sin and think that, oh God, how could you use me until I overcome this sin? God forgave you of all sin, past, present, and even future sin. Then in chapter 10, verse 1, for the law, having a shadow of good things to come and not the very image of those things, can never with those sacrifices which they offered year by year continually make the comers thereunto perfect. For then would they not have ceased to be offered? There's a question mark there. If the Old Testament sacrifices could have worked, they would have quit offering them because they would have worked. The very fact that they kept repeating them showed that they were only symbolic. They were a shadow. You know, imagine that this pulpit right here is like a wall or something that went all the way up to the ceiling. And if you were standing over there, and if I was standing over here, you couldn't see me because this wall would be blocking your view of me. But if I had a light behind me and you could see my shadow, that shadow could give you information about me. It could tell you if I'm standing still, if I'm walking towards you, if I'm walking away from you. It could tell you if I'm carrying a club. You could see a lot of things by a shadow. If you can't see the person, a shadow is important. But if I walk around the corner and if I'm in full view, something would be wrong with you if you fell down and shook hands with my shadow or hugged my shadow. The shadow is only of benefit as long as the person isn't in view. But once I'm in view, why would you talk to my shadow?
That's all the time we have for today, but be sure and tune in again as Andrew continues to teach on the heart of man. This five-part series was recorded at the 2017 Washington, D.C. Gospel Truth Seminar, and it's available for a gift of any amount. Ask for series RM293 when you make a donation to Andrew Womack Ministries, and be sure to specify CD or DVD. The fourth CD in this album is also available for a donation of any amount. However, for those who were not able to give, Andrew and his partners will provide this single teaching free of charge. All you need to do is request the fourth CD when you write or call, and we'll be pleased to send it to you. Our address is P.O. Box 3333, Colorado Springs 80934, or call 719-635-1111. Again, that's 719-635-1111, or go to our website at any hour. You can use credit card to order any of our ministry materials online 24 hours a day at www.awmi.net. Also, be sure to check out the TV broadcast link to find out about the Gospel Truth TV program in your area. We hope to hear from you today.
I'd like to ask you to pray about becoming a partner with us. You know, many of you have been receiving through our radio broadcast for decades and yet have never become a part of what we're doing. It's not about just helping us, but this is helping us to reach out and touch other people, to receive the same things that you've received. You know, there is a blessing on partners. In Philippians 4:19, where it says, "My God shall supply all your need according to His riches in glory by Christ Jesus." That was Paul writing to his partners. There is a special blessing when you become a partner with a ministry. So I'd like to encourage you to check it out. You can go to awmi.net and check out partnership today.